You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
In the Octagon, out in San Francisco, Matt, the armchair analyst, Doyle.
Do you like not care about your hygiene? Is that what we're hearing here?
I'm actually an obsessive hand washer.
Or maybe the best team in the MLS.
Wait a minute. No, Cashman, that's wrong.
Why?
Because, no, that's absolutely wrong.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXM FC Channel 85 and MLSsoccer.com. As always, I am Andrew Wiebe. With me in the studio, David Goss, and out there in the Octagon, Matt the Armchair Analyst Doyle. It is Super Bowl Monday, as they might say. Perhaps the hangover's here. Maybe you're just still full of food. I didn't eat breakfast this morning. Didn't have to. A dire game, I thought. But, hey, football has crowned its champions. So here we are. We have a big show for you today. Brandon Vincent is going to join us in the second segment. We'll talk about MLS 4v4 teams in the mailbag, and we'll go through U.S., Canada, and all the comings and goings in MLS as it stands. Do anything special, Dave? You're looking at me like...
Like an inspiring way to start a show was like, I didn't eat breakfast today and I thought the football game yesterday sucked. Let's talk about MLS. Which is like, okay, why even bring it up?
That's a decent point. It's a decent point. What did breakfast have to do with it, though? I don't know.
I don't know. You just started talking.
That's a good point. I just answered my own question.
Yeah. Sure. I'm good. I went and played 4v4 pickup soccer. There's a new place in Brooklyn. It's an indoor place connected to Berry Hill. Yeah,
yeah. Also a soccer bar.
Yeah. So if anyone lives in that area, look it up. You can sign up. You can go get time. 4v4 indoor on the turf. You can maybe kick a little round with
the giving
Goss,
you, like,
man.
Free time on the field for
Not
this?
At all. I just enjoyed it, and I'm trying to help out the soccer
paid?
Community.
I mean, you're going to drink Budweiser all night long after
See,
that?
What you think is everything has to be paid. What me and my guy Peyton, though, is sometimes the universe just pays you back, and
sometimes
you want to be a good
Sometimes when you're doing
guy.
Interviews on public television, you just have a can of Bud Light in your hand and a piece of Papa John's pizza.
I'm just an aw shucks, NFL-born and bred, multi-million dollar quarterback, and I just say simple things like, I like Budweiser.
Is this going to be your last show, or...?
I can't comment on that yet. Coach Dungy and me talked about it, and I think I should take a little bit of time to decide.
Good call. Good call there. Let's apply this to MLS Cup, though. That's what I'm wondering. Like, forget the Super Bowl. Look, I'm not a football guy anymore. It's kind of passed me by. But it is an event. It's just this. That's basically what the Super Bowl is. It's just a big, like, concert/sporting event/opportunity to sell ad dollars. When you look at that, Doyle, did you see anything that maybe you would steal for MLS Cup? I mean, is there anything...
I don't love the spectacle of it. I've never wanted that with my sports. I never needed to combine that in order to enjoy sports or in order to enjoy a concert. But I mean, I know my wife loved the halftime show. She doesn't care about the game at all, and I know everybody sort of feels that way, even when there's no left shark.
It's just unfortunate for Maroon 5 that they kind of got the. They got the back seat of
that. Yeah, I mean, they had some buzz, right? But then they got totally overshadowed by Beyonce. And I did not know this. Gassman hates Beyonce.
Whoa, where did that come from?
I mean, we were just saying that. Don't
Shots
get back out of it
fired.
Now.
Shots
were,
fired. Absolutely not
just,
true.
I think everybody needs to know.
Absolutely not true.
You probably
you were saying this, it just before.
This
just
is a class
before the show.
Doyle sitting here in his Timbers gear.
FWIW.
He's coming after me. Listen, I will say I enjoy Beyonce, and I think she's extremely talented and successful. But I do have a reaction to the reaction of Beyonce.
And you're going to say it, or you're just going
no,
to...
No, I'm just saying, like, she comes on, and everyone's like, oh, my God, she's so powerful, like, I can't get over it. And you're like, okay, I get it, but it's a lot. And every time she does any little thing, you have to, like,
it's almost like there's a little bit of a performance aspect to it with the people that are on the other side that react to that, right? People that are like, oh, no, she's overrated. Disagree. She's not overrated. She's an incredible performer. It was an incredible performance. Bruno Mars actually is the one I want to see, but what are you going to do?
Nice. I would say that I would hope that doesn't become a part of MLS Cup because the extended halftime for no reason is a little bit tough. I like spectacles. I'm like a big event person. I love the Olympics. I like a championship
Broadway.
Of any sort. Well, I was talking about sports,
but
it is a spectacle. So I like those big events. You know, I watch the college football national championship. I don't watch a single college football game the rest of the year just because it is. But so I don't mind all around it, but in the game, I would like the game to start and end, and I don't need something else happening.
MLS Cup has kind of eliminated the halftime show here the last couple of years. But if you think back, they used to do it. There were some good big performers. I think Christina Aguilera at one time was a performer. Maybe what was the one in Chicago? The push-pull, it's the song about the... you just said it earlier. Come on, you had me.
I don't remember things that come out of my own mouth.
That's clearly true. Look,
Nobody should listen to that.
I didn't know you were going to put me on the spot.
Yeah, let's see. Just look. What I want to know is if people actually think that MLS
Cup. The Click Five.
Yes. No, it wasn't that.
That's
what
I said.
That wasn't the right
one. That was the band that I said.
If people actually think that anything from.
Oh, Switchfoot.
Okay.
Yeah, Switchfoot was also.
That wasn't it either.
Yeah, you can see how memorable it was, folks.
Yeah, it was absolutely memorable. Although some good points. You know, I thought Lady Gaga did a great job with the national anthem. 1996, Alexi Lawless sang the national anthem at MLS Cup. That's crazy. And I just asked our own Greg Lawless. July 4th, 1996, do you know who sang in Tampa the national anthem?
Oh, I did hear him say this one time.
In cleats and shin guards in his uniform, Greg Lawless. That's an interesting note. Look, if you have anything you think you could steal from the Super Bowl, probably not, and apply to MLS Cup, I mean, he would admit that. Let us know at Extra Time Radio, Extra Time at MLSsoccer.com. One thing that did happen during MLS Cup that was big for Sporting KC fans, they put out their secondary kit. I thought it was an inspired piece of marketing by then. Yeah. Yeah, big time. The local ad side. So big for them. But then they also put out this WhatsApp commercial, and that is a miss. I'm sorry. I don't know if you saw this.
It was very Michael Scott of them, of like bringing back the joke that's 11 years old.
Yeah.
To like keep it going.
And that was a good reference to a character who's like 14 years old. So there you go.
Yeah, two mixed bag for Sporting.
You miss 100% of the references you don't make. Wayne Gretzky,
Michael Scott.
Well, look, let us know what you think. Let's move on to some MLS and U.S. national team happenings before we get to Brandon Vincent. In the second segment, a 1-0 win for the U.S. against Canada on Friday night. Not exactly a barn burner. Doyle, for the majority of this match, attacking soccer, the beautiful game in some ways, a little bit hard to find. But Josie Altidore in the end, Ethan Finlay with a really nice cross to him, kind of the super sub role. Josie, slimmed down, poised for a big year. Is that what we're seeing here?
To me, he looks better than he's ever looked physically. I think Taylor Twellman said in the Iceland game that he's dropped about 10 or 15 pounds, and it sort of shows. And I guess Josie showed up a week early for camp to do extra fitness work, and for the first time in a long time, he's made it through a long Jurgen Klinsmann camp without sustaining a hamstring injury. So it feels like a lot of things are coming together, but in addition to just looking like he's moving well and, you know, the anecdotes about his fitness, I thought his movement was sharper. I thought he was making the types of runs that Dom Dwyer makes, you know, guys who always have that hunger to go directly towards goal and put pressure on defenses. And Josie hasn't always done that. And for two games now, two friendlies against defenses that frankly are below MLS level, but nonetheless, for two games, Josie has done that. And I think MLS or TFC fans and U.S. national team fans should be encouraged for sure.
Let me ask you though. So, one, we have seen at times where Josie has shown up for friendlies when he's not shown up at other games, and that might be the opponent or whatever. But the best we've ever seen him with the U.S. national team was going, I think, into the 2010 World Cup when he was playing up top alongside Charlie Davies and that team was playing very well. That was a 4-4-2. Both these games was a 4-4-2. He played alongside Zardes, Jordan Morris, both players that bring speed, can stretch the field, give him a little bit of room to operate. Do you think that that has anything to do with it?
I don't. Because the best he's ever played was when he played for AZ back in, 2011, 2012, when he was a center forward in a 4-3-3. And, you know, formations are useful guideposts, but they're not tactics. And I think if you play a 4-3-3, in certain ways, you could end up being sort of a man alone, isolated on an island. But if you adjust it appropriately, kind of like what Columbus did last year with Ethan Finlay playing a little narrower and tighter to Kai Kamara, you could in effect have the same sort of partnership that you do with a 4-4-2. And look, Toronto FC has been playing around with a 4-3-3 in the preseason. I'm sure if that's what they end up going with, Sebastian Giovinco is going to be playing really tight and really inverted on that left-hand side. So it's not like Josie would be isolated. But what we see now is that for at least two games, he will be aggressive and he will be a presence in the box in a way that he hasn't always been.
Yeah, big game for Josie Altidore getting that goal late on. A 1-0 win for the national team. Brandon Vincent made his debut in this one. We'll talk to him in just a second. He looked pretty good at left back. A nice little move for Jurgen Klinsmann there. His first U.S. cap before his first professional game. That's pretty cool on the Jordan Morris route. And Jerome Kiesvetter got some pub on this show last week. We talked to him. A great interview. A great kid. We said that he was discovery. No, we said he was part of the allocation process. He is not. He is discovery eligible. We talked to the folks over there at the headquarters, MLS PR, and they said, look.
That's my bad. I blew it.
Hey, look, you know, it's the rules are up there, by the way. You can go find these things. It's all public, the list, everything. It's kind of, sometimes it's easy to forget that after all those years of seemingly kind of swinging in the dark about some of these things. But it's all public now, so go check that stuff out. Let us know what you thought of that game, but let's move on. Omar Gonzalez, a goal for Pachuca, a game-tying goal. And then he goes with what, it was almost like you know, it was almost like the Scarface celebration. Maybe something he learned from Robbie Keane, or I don't know. It was interesting, but a big goal for him out in Germany. Another of the hyped U.S. prospects, Christian Pulisic. He gets on the field again. He's also in the Europa squad for Borussia Dortmund, so big props to him. Moving
Bobby,
on up.
Bobby Wood scored a goal out
Bobby
in Germany.
Wood,
we
yeah.
just talked about him.
He shredded some guys on that goal. Some really bad goalkeeping, but he the footwork there, you got to love it. Bobby yeah. Wood still rolling along, and Alejandro Bedoya still rolling along. His third goal in his last four games. I think we should try to get him on the show. I might go look.
He just
into
bought
that.
A house today.
Yeah, that's what he said
it
on
was
Twitter.
All over Twitter.
Six month process. Let's real quick get the MLS before we get out of here and get to Brandon Vincent. Gideon Ba, rumors. A center back prospect. Apparently, Barcelona B was interested in him, but Ronald Zubar has left training camp early with an injury. That really should probably surprise no one at this point with Ronald Zubar. Unfortunately, injuries have really hurt him in his time in MLS. Also, center back for Chelsea got hurt. I can't remember his first name. Kurt Zuma, yeah. Uh-huh.
We won't do this, by the way. We're not going to like update you on every single thing that happens to Chelsea center backs, but this happened to be like, well, he just got there, and then this happened.
Gary Cahill into the 11 in this game, but maybe Matt Miazga gets a little bit more opportunities in training. We'll see. We'll see. Really, what else is going on in MLS, guys? Though I look around, and I'm not sure. You got DC United's making some moves, maybe. Luciano Acosta, Boca Juniors. You like his track record, at least club-wise. I mean, before we get out of here, we got like a minute and a half. I'm struggling. It's a little bit slow on the transfer
market.
Yeah,
there was this St. Louis expansion talk a little bit, and then you get Fernando Torres is ruining everyone's day by trying to be rumored.
And there it is. Boom. There goes the radiator.
And this just actually came through. The guy the Rev signed, Xavier Kouassi, set to join New England Revolution in summer, has suffered a torn ACL and MCL.
That oh my gosh.
Comes from a guy who covers the Swiss Super League. Can't verify it just yet, but that's within the last 5 minutes. It looks legit via these sources.
That's a huge blow for the Revs. That was a signing that they were really excited about. In a lot of ways, you could say a direct replacement for Jermaine Jones in that midfield. That's a tough blow for them. Anything we're looking forward to ahead of this week? I mean, like I said, it's preseason. Jovinko's scoring bangers in a warm weather
Bradley
environment.
Wright Phillips had a beautiful goal.
Bradley
as well
Wright Phillips did have a really nice
in a
goal.
Scrimmage versus Montreal. No, you know, you try and take in a few minutes here or there. There's those last few moves of guys that can kind of seal things up. But I think right now I'm just trying to like rest my MLS muscles.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. Cause especially because CCL starts in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
that's
the
big thing.
As soon as that starts, like we're all in, you know, 100%. So I'm spending this week kind of laying low. And I advise everybody else to do the same.
Take a deep breath. Take a rest. We'll be back
just
in just
back
a second
with
Brandon Vincent.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extratime Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back now on Extra Time Radio with the guys, David Goss, Matt the Armchair Analyst Doyle. I am Andrew Eby. In just a second, we will talk to Chicago Fire rookie Brandon Vincent, also newly minted U.S. international Brandon Vincent. But Doyle, give me an idea what we're looking at this offseason from the Fire. We've talked about it a little bit. I think you've started to get a little bit excited about what this team might be. Some recent moves, Nick LaBroca in as a free agent, Johan Kabelhoff over from Groningen, and then Rodrigo Ramos, a defender from Curitiba, loaned from Brazil. But Brandon Vincent, one of the jewels of this offseason for them. They've made some moves. Where do they stand?
I mean, it's still rebuilding, right? Because they still have a lot of holes to fill, and it's not clear who the leader is, and it's not clear how it all comes together. But just in terms of raw talent, age 25 and under, I like what they have. I think Vincent's going to be really good. He showed a lot of that the other day against Canada for the U.S. national team. I think that Harry Shipp is going to get a chance to play as a number 10, which is what we've all wanted to see for the past two years or so. Matt Polster is a true D-mid. It reminds me a little bit of what Greg Berhalter did when he came to Columbus. He didn't tear everything out and create a brand new team. He identified the pieces on the roster that he wanted. He kept the whole midfield, and he built around that. And I think what Velkopanovic and Nelson Rodriguez has done is sort of in the same vein. So if I was a Fire... Look, I don't think the Fire are going to make the playoffs this year, but I think they have... talent, and it seems like they're dedicated to putting it all together in a way that makes sense.
Kurt Larson, I would assume, excited for a full year of Gilberto. Also, Matt, can I recommend that you go like lock your windows and doors? Because I think you have a fugitive situation going on around the apartment right now. The Octagon is about to get real serious. That sounds like a chopper, man.
Yeah, just another day in the East Bay. It gets pretty real out here in California when the sun comes out.
I bet.
Oh, yeah. Let's get to Brandon Vincent now. Brandon, he's on the line now. How's it going, man?
Great. I'm happy to be here, and thank you guys for having me.
Now, you sound a little bit tired. I mean, I heard it's two-a-days right now. I mean, you went from the U.S., or College Cup, I should say, to the U.S., the Combine, get drafted, now you're in two-a-days. I mean, when are you going to catch your breath here?
Hopefully not for a while. I'll just try to take it day by day and get my rest where I need to throughout the day. But, I mean, the general thing, I want to present as possible, so I'm happy to be a little bit tired here.
When did you get to camp here? How was the whole process for you? You play against Canada on Friday, get your first cap. You just jump right on a plane. How did all this go?
So Friday night we got done, and luckily I'm from Southern California, so I was able to drive home that night after the game. And I had Saturday to kind of relax and get my feet and just kind of get settled. And I got to pack and spend a little time with family. And then Sunday morning I flew out to here in Tampa, and now I'm with the guys in Chicago for the first time and just had my first session this morning. So.
Everybody always thinks about the soccer, and you know that part is easy for you. They tell you when to show up to the field. They set everything up for you in preseason, all that stuff. A little bit more difficult, I feel like, is getting your personal life settled. Like I said, you've been all over the place. I have to imagine, in some sense, you feel maybe like things are in a little bit of disarray. I mean, do you have an apartment? When are you going to move your stuff to Chicago? How's all this going down?
Yeah, those are the questions I get a lot, and my answer is I don't know yet. So I'll have to – it's something that I'll figure it out, but it comes with the job, and, you know, I'm not complaining about it right now. I've had a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, all of it's been, you know, a great honor to be a part of. So, you know, I'll figure that stuff out when I get to it.
Now, from looking at your Twitter handle a little bit, you do have a brother in Chicago, though. Are you just going to, you know, come in, call status, and jump on his couch?
I might have to start off. Now, I don't know. I think I'll try to say he's a freshman this year, so I think I'll be staying away from the freshman dorms at least for a while. I mean, we'll meet up, and hopefully he can come over to my place when I get one.
Freshman dorms, I think we've all experienced this. I mean, that's
an awkward place.
Yeah, that's a good time, though, right? I mean, those are people just now jumping into life.
Yeah, I mean, it's for him to figure out. I've gone through mine already.
So he's playing American football at the University of Chicago. At least that's what our limited research here tells us.
Were you
a football player as well, or did you guys just take divergent paths?
I was never American football player. Not my thing. I did not enjoy, or the idea of getting hit every day for fun was not my cup of tea. So he did, and you know he's doing great at it. So I'm all more power to him.
So as a brother, I need your opinion here, and I'm sure you watched the Super Bowl last night. You can correct me if you didn't. You'll be one of the very few, I would think, from your camp in the U.S. that didn't. the Eli Manning face when it became clear that Peyton Manning was going to win. What's your interpretation? As a brother, what do you think that meant? What was going through Eli's mind? Should he be? Oh, come on, he's got to be a little bit more happy, right?
Yeah, I would have thought, but I mean, who knows, whatever the brotherly connection they have, maybe that's normal for them. I'm sure he's happy for his brother, but yeah, but the reaction at first was kind of puzzling, but who knows?
Do you hold anything over your brother? Is there anything out there, you know, because before Eli had the two Super Bowl championships, he doesn't have that anymore. Do you have like some bragging rights that you always go back to?
No, I mean, it's good for us because we play different sports, so that never really existed, which I think is for the better. We're both competitors, and I think if there was anything to hold over each other, it might be probably him, to be honest. He's got a great success in football, but playing soccer and playing football is two different sports, so we try not to compare too much.
No national team in football. You've got your first cap, got in as a substitute against Canada. Now, Jordan Morris kind of blazed this path before you there at Stanford, getting his caps before he officially became a pro, or at least before he joined up with his pro squad. How did you find out that you were going to U.S. camp? When did this happen for you? I have to imagine this has all just been a really big whirlwind.
Yeah, absolutely. I had no idea it was coming. Seeing Jordan do it, obviously, it was really cool, but I never really thought anything of it for myself. You know, it's a big dream of mine, but you know, for him to do that was amazing to see. And I was in the combine when it happened. We just had done our first game, and I had a missed call from an unknown number, and I didn't know who it was. So played a phone tag for a couple times because we both weren't picking up each other's calls. And then he finally left a message, and I listened to it while I was on the bus with my teammates after the game. And obviously it was the invitation to the camp from Klinsmann, and I was freaking out, but quietly, just in my seat because I couldn't tell anybody at the time. And I had one of my teammates there, Ty Thompson, with me, and he sat a couple seats away. So I just gave him a phone to listen to the message because I had to tell somebody at that time. So he was super pumped for me. And then 20, 30 minutes later, they released the press release, and I was able to talk about it. And it was just a whirlwind of emotion and dreams coming true. So it was great.
When that news comes out and, you know, at the combine, it's like 80 some dudes just hanging out, waiting for games, relaxing at the hotel. That news comes out. How do you go about that? I mean, you don't want to brag about it, right? But you're very happy. So how do you interact with the group? What do they think?
Yeah. I mean, I think we were at a spot where it was kind of like, we were just getting off the bus and everybody was tired and all that. So if nobody had seen it, I didn't say anything. But if someone had saw it, I would, you know, say thank you for the, you know, they would congratulate me. And obviously I'd say thank you and, you know, appreciate everything. But as far as that, I just try to lay low. And if nobody knew, I wouldn't say anything. So I can move out of there quietly.
When this happened to Jordan, and it was like he was an amateur soccer player that hadn't played a pro game and now was playing for the U.S. national team, what did you think about that? And did you ever think that you'd be in the same situation?
I mean, for him, he's a great player. Obviously, you guys have seen, and we knew that once he came in as a freshman. I saw him, and I was like, this guy's got some talent. You know, he's something I wouldn't want to play against. But you know, he's seeing him do it definitely gave me more confidence when it did happen that it is possible. But I, like I said, I didn't see it coming at that time. At least it's always a motivation of mine to be a part of that group that represents our nation. But at this time, I was working hard, but I didn't know it was coming. So I'm just, you know, thankful for it.
There's a story that Jordan Morris kind of wowed in a scrimmage against the World Cup team as they were preparing for the 2014 World Cup. That's kind of how he got on the radar. Were you there? Were you in that game?
Yeah, I was playing in that game, and you're right. Jordan did definitely wow with that performance he put on that game. I think everybody on the field at that point, this was the game of our lives. Playing against those guys that were playing for the World Cup. And, you know, he did really well with it. And I was on the field too. So maybe they noticed, maybe they didn't. I just try to keep working hard regardless.
And did you feel, though, like you, I mean, was that a moment for you as well? Where you were like, wow, I can stay with these guys. I can play at this level.
It was a moment where I felt close, where I was, you know, it was a motivation to get even better because seeing those guys right in front of me and knowing that was the level that it took to get to where they were at is something that was really cool for me to just have a tangible idea of what I needed to get better at. And, you know, I did all right, but it wasn't anything where I stood out and was like, yeah, get this guy in the squad. So obviously I had a lot of time to work on things that I learned from the older guys there, watching those guys play. And luckily everything worked out.
So, but this is before the World Cup. They need to be healthy. You're going into a scrimmage with them. Do you pull out of tackles? Do you, like, do they have a talk beforehand with, like, hey, guys, we probably don't need to tell you this, but, like, don't hurt anybody?
Yeah, it was a mutual understanding. Obviously, our guys wanted to go flying in because, like I said, the game of our lives, but then we realized that these guys are representing us and we don't want them to be in a position where they can't perform. So, we were going in sharp, but it wasn't trying to leave our feet or hurt anybody, of course. So, yeah.
So then this January, you're part of the camp. You're doing your thing, a little bit of a U23 and senior team mix. Give me an idea of what stood out for you. What was something maybe on the field that you're going to remember for a long time? And what was something off the field that really stuck with you?
I'm trying to think here. So on the field, I mean, I think it's a general thing, wasn't specifically. It's just the level of play is so high. The guys mentally are so sharp and technically, you know, very few mistakes. And that's something that I had to learn very quickly was it's a different standard and you just have to jump in and get into it. And if you do make a mistake, just keep on going. So I just try to go with that attitude of keeping my head down, working hard and watching and learning as much as I could. And then off the field, there wasn't a lot of time, to be honest, because either I was in bed or I was eating. So I was pretty tired and pretty hungry most of the time. But, I mean, it was great to get to know the guys. They were all super nice. And then when Jordan got there, it was cool to have him around as someone I knew. So, yeah.
What did you discuss with Jurgen what maybe the next steps for your international future are? I mean, it was a combined U23 full camp. So we don't really know where everyone falls. U23 qualifying coming up, World Cup qualifying coming up. Did you guys discuss that?
He gave a little feedback of just how the camp went and, you know, how he wants to see me progress as a player. And he didn't give me too many things away. But, you know, I think my main takeaway from it was just to keep working hard and keep doing what I'm doing and keep pushing more so I could be part of the squad in the future and, you know, make sure I don't lose out on that by, you know, getting too confident or too complacent with what I'm doing. I still have a lot to work on and a lot to get better at, and that's what he made it seem like for me, so that's what I'm going to be focusing on.
A bright future for you with the Fire this season. Chicago fans hope, and I'm sure Jurgen hopes as well. Before we talk about the future, and we'll get to the Fire in just a second, I want to talk about one more thing from the past. I am from Kansas. I lived in Kansas City for a long time. You won a national championship in Kansas City. I need to know how you guys celebrated that. What was the post national championship game scene like for Stanford?
Physically while we were there, it wasn't too much. I think it was a Sunday night, and it wasn't going too wild in Kansas City. But once we got back to campus, it was also dead because we were out of school. So luckily, we had a kind of delayed celebration at campus. A lot of the guys were able to make it back, or the guys graduating were able to come back for the first week of school for training and stuff. So I went back up to campus, and some of the friends on campus threw a big party for us, which was really fun. Just got to be with the guys, and a lot of people from school came around and were super pumped for us. So it was a great, great celebration with the guys. You know, just when we were in Kansas City beforehand, small, just little of us, and then we got to campus, we got the big party.
I'm assuming you got to drink out of the cup. I mean, that you have to, right? No?
I don't think it's a cup.
Well, it's not really a cup.
It's a plaque. It's that
kind
plaque.
Of a plaque thing, so didn't really work that way.
You could eat off it.
I know.
If you
they got to work on that. That's no good. You got to be able to drink out of the cup. But the Fire here, it's kind of a tradition now that guys in January camp find out who they were drafted by, like either during training or afterwards. Alex Bono found out last year. I heard that you found out. You came and got your phone afterwards. I mean, that had to save you a little bit of like mental anguish there because your rights were traded. It was all up in the air for a while. How did you experience draft day?
Well, yeah, so luckily training was around, what was it, 10:30 that day, and the draft started at 10 Pacific time. And, you know, I was able to turn on the draft while I was kind of warming up and doing some exercises in the gym. And You know, kept going. And I think right before I went out, they announced that Chicago Fire had traded away Jack Harrison and picked me up. And I got to see it live. So that was, it was cool for me just to know that going out before training, and all the guys were very, you know, happy for me and congratulating me. And obviously having Sean and Matt there was cool because, they're my new teammates now, just within, you know, the flip of the switch. So, it was, you know, it was a cool experience. I would have liked to have been there, but, you know, I'm not complaining where I was at all. You know, it was really cool to see that, and I'm happy to be here now.
Was there any chance that you were going to go out on the field and not watch? Were they like, hey, Brandon, it's time to go, and you were going to be like, well, my future's hanging in the balance right now. Can you give me 20 minutes?
We hadn't really discussed it. It was kind of like, if you see it, I guess you can see it, and if not, you'll just see it after training. And I mean, I'm obviously nervous and anxious to see where I'm going, but you know, I'm there to train as well, so it wasn't a huge focus of the rest of the guys. So
you said it though. Sean and Matt are in camp with you. I mean, you get drafted. Are you just peppering them with questions? Did you just immediately walk out on the field and be like, "I'm going to hang out with these two guys because these are my future buddies for the next few years"?
There's definitely more of a connection after hearing that, where I could kind of gravitate towards those guys. It's because I knew I'd be spending a lot of time with them coming up here. But I mean, as far as questions right off the bat, I wasn't too wild with them. I was just trying to get an idea of what everything was like. And obviously, you know, with the new regime change and everything like that, they didn't know too much either about what's going on. So we're all kind of in the same boat, but you know, I was asking kind of like living and stuff like that. But other than that, it was just getting an idea of what it might be like. And, we're just all excited to get back.
So you have a young coach, a guy who's all about development of young players in Veljko Panovic. That has to be super exciting for you. They traded Jovan Jones on draft day. That's the left back that at least was starting in 2015. Also, I would assume a little bit exciting for you. Well, it seems like a really good situation. Have you talked to Panovic? Have you talked to Nelson Rodriguez? What have you experienced so far in camp?
Well, I mean, I had a conversation with them at the combine. We had a good long interview with all of them. And then after the draft, they all gave me a call and congratulated me. And, you know, being here now, I haven't had a specific conversation about anything with regard to the future. It's more I'm here, I'm jumping in and just getting ready to work hard. And, you know, I have to prove myself in front of these guys. They've made moves, obviously, that, you know, show certain things that they have maybe ideas for me. But if I don't perform, I'm not going to be able to take part in that. So my biggest focus is just making sure I show that I can perform and perform well. And be a solid guy that they look to put in the lineup. But so that's just the goal. Where I can be working on here is just making a good impression in front of them.
We're excited to watch you play this season. And one of the things that every college player has to deal with, though, and we saw the saga with Jordan, of course, between potentially Europe and here, was whether or not to sign with MLS. Did you ever think about maybe going overseas or going to a different league?
I mean, it was a thought and a possibility because I have a European passport. My mother's Swedish. So the gate was definitely more of an option for me realistically that, or not realistically, I mean, in a way that it would be easier for me to if I decided that. But I always really wanted to stay in MLS and, you know, I have to work my way up and here or there. So being in the U.S. and seeing the way soccer's taking off here and just being a part of that growth is something I wanted to do. So I'm happy to be here.
One of the things we always ask guys at the Combine is how much MLS they watch. In the past, we used to do a quiz of players down there, and then the quiz results would come back, and frankly, they'd be dire. They'd be terrible. How much MLS did you watch? Are the Stanford guys getting together and watching games? Are you looking at this league and saying, that's where we want to be, what we need to know as much as possible about it? What's your knowledge base like?
I mean, it's grown definitely as I went through college. So, freshman and sophomore year, I didn't really, you know, watch too much. I was just focused on trying to survive college, and the soccer environment there. But as I got older and, you know, junior and senior year, as MLS became more of a, possibility for me to look to as taking my games to the next level, definitely turned on, especially this last season, just kind of get an idea of who's who, what the teams are like, where I'll be playing, that kind of thing. Just trying to get familiar with it so I knew, you know, what I was getting into. And it's looked like a lot of fun. And, you know, with all the players coming over and stuff like that, it's pretty cool to be able to say I'll be able to get on the field with those guys. And obviously it's a competitive league outside of that with, you know, the players that are training day in and day out. So I'm just excited to jump in and get working.
Was there anybody in particular that you watched, a team that you enjoyed their style or players that you looked at and said, man, I got to steal something off their game?
Not players specifically. I really liked when I trained in Kansas City, and, you know, they had a great, obviously they've done very well and very nice facilities. Being there for the College Cup was pretty cool to see that as well. And then I got to watch a little bit of New York City FC just because they were the new team and the talk of the time. So, and Sounders in Portland, obviously you guys like that. LA was where I was from. So I watch a good amount of teams, and, you know, it's all different, and I'm just excited to be, you know, in the mix with it now.
And you said you wanted to just survive college at the beginning. You won a couple awards for being such a successful academic, along with being a player. You studied econ. So, one, what are you going to do with all this free time now that you don't have to study? And two, what would you be doing if you weren't playing soccer?
Those are good questions. Free time, I'll try to survive MLS first couple months.
Sounds like sleeping and eating, probably.
Yep, it'll be filled with a lot of sleeping and eating. But, I mean, once I get settled and figure out where I'm living and stuff like that, I'm sure I'll be hanging out with my brother a good amount, and then maybe I'll pick up some golf here and there. I'll have to learn that. And if I didn't play soccer, it's tough for me to say. I think what most people do with my degree would just be going into some kind of finance or consulting, businessy type job, but I'm really happy I'm not have to do that right away.
Going right into MLS, preseason up and running right now. I mean, I have to imagine you saw Ashley Cole sign for the Galaxy. You were watching that one pretty closely, I think, being a SoCal guy. And I heard that Ashley Cole, that's the player that you modeled yourself after. Is that true?
Yeah. I watched the Premier League growing up, and he was a left back that got forward but was a great defender as well. So if I can have some of his characteristics in my game or add them or whatever I can to emulate what he's done, successful career he's had, I think I'll be all right. So that's something I want to, you know, definitely focus on is, you know, take some of his traits as a player, but then also develop my own, becoming my own kind of left back or wherever I get the opportunity to play.
Before we let you go, one quick one. We're going to discuss a little bit. Our fans have been sending us their dream 4v4 pickup squads with MLS players, U.S. national team players, a mix from around the world of what they'd like to see and what would be successful. Can you give us a team that you'd put together, whoever you want to play with, guys you've played with, guys you've never played with,
guys
you're
fans on? You can put
yourself
on the team, yeah.
We would highly expect you to put yourself on the team, but you don't have to.
Okay. That's on the spot. All right. I'll say I'm just going to go for the top three right off the bat would be Messi, Neymar, Ronaldo, and then I could just kind of be on the same field with him and take credit for whatever we win.
You're the defensive specialist on the team because they're all attacking.
Exactly. Clean it up in the back.
We can call it that. And then the other side, you want me to put the other side out there too?
Whatever you want to
do. I don't even think you even need another side at that point when you got Messi, Neymar, and Ronaldo.
True. Yeah, I'm just going with those three and myself, so I think you'd be able to do all right. They would, and I kind of be around.
decent 4v4 side there. Follow Brandon on Twitter, _BVincent. That's the Twitter. We got to get that underscore out of there, man. Talk to the social folks here at MLS. They can help you out, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Tough one. Chicago Fire, in the middle of preseason, Brandon Vincent fighting for a spot. Brandon, thank you so much for your time, man. Good luck. Stay rested. Eat a lot of food, all right?
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
Good stuff from an apartment hunting, Brandon Vincent, I would assume. Let us know what you think at Extra Time Radio, extratime@mlssoccer.com. As we said, straight into MLS 4v4s.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions. I'm hurting, baby. I'm broken down. I need your love.
Back now on Extra Time Radio with the guys, David Goss, Matt Doyle. I am Andrew Wiebe. That is Maroon 5, fresh off a Super Bowl halftime appearance.
Yeah, they were great.
A little bit overshadowed. Bruno Mars and Beyonce, you know, they did their thing. They were all right. But
it was more like a Maroon 5 cameo, am I right?
Yeah, I think you are right.
Bruno Mars 5 Beyonce.
You know, Bruno Mars doesn't have any upcoming tour dates, which was really heartbreaking to me. I saw that performance, and I was like, I have to see this guy.
Right, because that's the dream, and that's always been the dream.
Yeah, no good for him. But look, hey, we can dream about 4v4.
Let's talk about something that matters.
And we're going to do MLS ones instead of Brandon Vincent going with, like, come on, Neymar, Ronaldo, Messi. I hope he listens to the show and hears you.
That's just not fair.
Come on, who's going to match up against that?
So we got a few emails in for their dream 4v4 teams. We're going to start with Brent Sprockorf from Northfield, Ohio, and he thought about it a lot, and he gave us the four types of players you need: a defender with attacking ability, a defensive mid that doesn't stop moving, a creative attacking mid or forward, a target player that can hold the ball. Now, I completely disagree with 75 to 90% of what was just said. With that said, here are my picks: Breck Shea, Dax McCarty, Sebastian Giovinco, and Obafemi Martins. So that is Brett's team. It's a pretty good team. I don't think there's any reason you need a target forward in 4v4
soccer. No, I don't think so either. You just need guys who can hold on to the ball or who can, you know, play the one-touch short balls through and move. Like, yep. That's really it.
It's all about interchange over here, Andrew. It's all about interchange. Okay. Now we have an email.
I do like Dax, Seba, and Oba. Breck, I think he'd probably be fine, but I think you can get better folks out there. Maybe somebody else has a better team.
I think Breck actually was the most solid pick. We have an email here from Nate Meyerhofer.
Wait, what?
I think Breck, Shea?
Over Dax, Seba, and Oba.
Well, no, sorry.
Everyone's
picking Seba, so that one's already
out there.
That's
true. That's definitely true.
I think
true.
That one already exists. Okay. I think Breck Shea was one I didn't think of that would be good.
Okay.
Maybe that's what I meant.
There you go. That's what
Nate Meyerhofer here, he's an RSL fan, so he went big. He went with an RSL team, an all-MLS team, and then an MLS Legends team.
Whoa.
So his RSL team, Jamison Olave, Javier Morales, João Plata, Burrito.
I think we should just call him Burrito. I don't think there's no Burrito Martinez anymore.
No, I just – that's what – I'm just pickup. So yeah, it's like okay. And one style.
Yeah, yeah.
Skip
gotcha.
To my Lou.
Yep, yep.
MLS was Giovinco, Breck Shea.
Again, whoa, Breck Shea, the 4v4 savant.
And then Wando, which I think is actually a solid pick as well because you want a cherry picker.
I don't know how I missed Lee Wynn. I'm going to regret not having him in my squad, I think.
Maybe.
I'm with you on Wando.
And then the Legends team, and sorry, I have to throw a little shade here. He picked Landon Donovan, Stuart Holden, Alexi Lawless, and a player called Matt McBride, who I think might be named Brian. I'm not sure. And that was his Legends team. I don't know. We didn't think of Legends teams, guys. So if you want to make that up on the fly, feel free to. If not, you just don't have to. We have an all Timbers team from Robert McFadden. He said Darlington Nagbe, Diego Valeri, Diego Chara. And then he said, I'm not sure Milano or Esprit are quite there yet. But then I remembered that we picked up David Dutch Oven, Ned, in the offseason. He made a great addition to our 4v4 squad, which takes its name, and he called his team Scoreboard for Tissuegate. But I think he meant to say David Duchovny, which I don't even know that Ned Grabovoy really looks like him.
I'm toggling back and forth here. I think there's a resemblance. I don't think it's perfect.
Doyle, do you have an armchair analyst analysis of this
comparison?
David Duchovny, or if there's a person named David Dutch Oven that we don't know about.
Dutch Oven is how I got pink eye.
And Grabovoy.
Tapping out of this segment. I'm tapping out. No, I have nothing to add to this.
Okay, one more team, and then we'll give our teams. Gwyneth Rost on Twitter said, the New England expatriates, Dempsey, Chad Barrett, Benny Failhaber, Jeff Laurentiewicz. All former Revs players throughout the league. And now, guys.
Shalri was on that, right? Did I heard that right?
She didn't say Shalri.
Oh, no, Shalri. I think Shalri would have been a decent choice there. Okay, that's fine.
And what do you guys say? Who would like to go first?
Doyle, you're going first.
I think the emphasis has got to be on close control and movement, like you guys have said. So I mean, and obviously familiarity is a part of that. So I think you go with Dempsey, Oba, Brad Evans, and Ozzie Alonso.
Oh, so you picked people. You know they don't have to play for the same team.
I do know that, but I would take that team and be pretty happy with it.
So you're pulling like a Herb Brooks miracle thing, like an all-star team versus a team of guys that just know each other.
I mean, Obafemi Martins, I don't think is like team that knows each other. I think
JC Callahan, of Charlestown, Massachusetts.
Who's you? No, no.
And also, I'm pretty sure all four guys I just named are all stars.
Right, they are. They are.
So, yeah, they are.
And they're all international.
This is not an aw shucks, we hope we can compete type of team.
I went for speed, ball control, close control, and also 4v4. There's really no positioning. Because we're playing on pugs and whatnot, you know, and there's no need for height as well. So I went with Darlington Nagbe, João Plata, Sebastian Giovinco, and either Andrew Farrell or Michael Parkhurst as my fourth. A defender who has some decent foot skills.
I Giovinco, I think you have to have. I just don't know how that's even a question. I went Robbie Keane because I feel like Robbie Keane in 4v4 is the type of guy who's just, A, banter 24/7.
Right.
Like, you're not escaping him. He's also going to try to embarrass other people, I feel like. And he's just that jovial presence that, you know, as you run other teams off the field, he's the one talking
trash. He's also the guy who would sit at, like, the midfield, quote-unquote,
right. Oh, yeah.
Point. Like, oh, mark him, and then just, like, cherry pick.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm going to rely on him. I'm also bringing in Benny Fallhaber. I liked that pick. I thought he's a guy who'll fit in well in this situation. And then my fourth, little bit of, like, intimidation but also skill. Look, Nigel De Jong just got signed. He's coming straight into my 4v4 team.
Ugh.
Watch out. You don't want any of that. So I don't even know
if he has enough space in 4v4 to wind up for a leg cruncher. I think it takes.
That's my team. I think it takes five or ten yards for him to get loaded.
I think
you could get it going. I think you could get it going.
So let us know which of our three teams do you think would win. Who would you guys select? I mean, we still have plenty of swag to give away, an overwhelming amount of swag.
We have a bunch of books as well. We have a couple of copies of Das Reboot. We've got, Love Thy Soccer.
Yeah,
we got
which I enjoyed.
The Tim Howard, The Keeper. We've also got Finding the Game by Gwendolyn Oxenham. If you haven't read that one, it's based on the documentary Pelada, which was a great documentary. It's a really good
book.
Pretty
sure it's Pelada.
Pelada?
You added more letters.
I did add another letter to that one. Well, it's still a great documentary that you should see.
Speaking of documentaries, my dream documentary, my dream mandate always has a documentary involved. So let's go to these key MLS days. And we have Marlon Argueta, who is our good friend down in the D.C. area. And he says, as a D.C. fan, he would choose to spend his day with Fabian Espindola. He'd start out by hitting a local golf course and seeing if Fabi could bring that fiery passion to the links. He could see him breaking a couple golf clubs out of frustration. That just made me laugh, so I felt like that had to go in there. Then a little.
You're gonna drink a lot of mate with Fabi.
Yeah,
I feel like you better like develop the taste for mate because you are gonna be drinking a lot of that.
And then he said, play pickup soccer with the high school kids that he coaches, so that he could teach his defenders a thing or two. And he'd wrap the day up by playing a little Monopoly. He'd bring over a few other MLS
Monopoly,
players,
Monopoly, huh?
Ozzy Alonso, Aurelian Collin, and Blas Perez, along with Fabi Espindola.
That's my 4v4 team right there.
Yeah,
that's my 4v4 team. Yeah.
That's the team that wins the game because, like, a foul gets called and they refuse to leave the field until the other team leaves.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Like, that's
experience
just,
with that?
Yeah, yeah. There's people like that in every country on the planet.
Right.
Where games never end with a goal. They end with some sort of fight of some sort. We have an email from Ethan Simi who gave us this idea, who just said he wants stuff.
He just wants stuff?
Yeah.
Look, I mean, it was a good idea. We'll hit him with something. Email him. Marlon, he can attest. We send this stuff out.
He did say if he had to do it, he'd take Diego Valeri out. He's a fashionable guy, so they'd go do a little shopping downtown Portland, play a little pickup in the park, show people what's up, and then go for a nice dinner for a lasting impression. It's a nice day.
Relaxing day.
And, I mean, I'd say that I would like to be invited to that as well.
That could be a good one.
So if that's something that, you know, is coming
based
and going.
Based on the plaid in this studio, I think you could benefit from that.
And let's close up here with Vikas Mendirata, who emails in and says he's a DC United fan and he kind of loved how much everyone hated them this year. They're going out. There's rumors that they're about to sign Antonio Nocerino, if that's how we're pronouncing
little
that.
A little bit of a controversy with that right now. A little bit of some tampering accusations from DC, according to Steve Goff. Orlando apparently trying to horn in on this. We'll see what happens there.
And we discussed earlier Luciano Acosta, the 21-year-old Argentine from playmaker that might be coming in from Boca Juniors. So he's asking, are they going to change their style? Are they not going to be ugly DC anymore? And he's saying, don't get me wrong, I do think the team stagnated down the stretch. I think we need to shake things up to try and have the potential to make a playoff run, but some part of me will always miss being the team that always broke the expected goals model. Is that wrong?
I guess it's too early to say, and I do think that Ben Olsen, he really believes in the 4-4-2 system that he played last year. You know, there's a reason why he's moved Nick De Leon to central midfield this preseason so far, trying him out there, because he really wants to stick to that system. Even if these acquisitions come through, I wouldn't be holding my breath for a drastic switch in formation or aesthetics. But that said, if you do have Nocerino and Acosta, you got to at least consider a little bit playing a 4-3-3. You got to at least have the club in the back.
Yeah, and he said 4-2-3, but, and, you know, we've gotten a few other messages about DC United. Someone on Twitter asked, with these acquisitions, 30-year-old average age for this new lineup, is this an intermediate move to be good until maybe a new stadium comes around and then you try?
We've been seeing that for a while, haven't we? I mean, that's kind of been their plan for a good bit, and it's worked for them, to be honest with you. Like, they went from the worst team in the league, the worst season ever, to a team that consistently is making the playoffs and competes. So I don't think you can argue with the strategy. Can we call them ugly, ugly DC United? I mean, I'm not going to, but it's kind of
funny.
Sounds
like you just did.
No,
you
I'm not did. Going to. I'm not. I said, can we? It was a part of a question. We won't.
Hey,
think
Timbers Army out there, relax.
Hey, look, Sporting Kansas City has gone kind of the same route this offseason. Justin Mapp, Brad Davis, those types of signings. We'll see how it works for both of them. Anyway, that's all we have here. Brandon Vincent, big thanks to him for joining the show. Maybe an exciting young player for the Chicago Fire, an exciting young player perhaps for the U23s as well as the senior national team. Follow him on Twitter, _BVincent. And big thanks to you guys, David Goss, Matt the Armchair Analyst. I am Andrew Reby. We'll be back on Thursday.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.